How's everybody doing this morning? Awesome, awesome. Are you guys ready for the Word of God? Well, today, if you are first or new to church, today might be a lot to chew on, okay? But, as you know, my style is to take complicated things and hopefully make them simple. And that's my goal here today. We're in a series called Cross Equals Love. Okay, that statement doesn't make sense unless you understand the whole picture of grace and salvation. Because cross really is not a picture of love. How many of you know that? Cross was a picture of condemnation and judgment. And what God did on the cross, he did the same thing. He judged Jesus, right? Jesus said this, "You didn't crucify me. The Pharisees didn't crucify me. I gave my life willingly," right? He said this, "No one takes my life, I give it willingly," okay? So cross is a picture of judgment. So how is it equals love? So today my message is this, and if you're here for the first time, we're going to talk about judgment, right? We're going to talk about, that's a fun subject, Pastor, thanks. We're going to talk about the justice of God. The mighty smiter. All right, that's what we're talking about today. And I'm hoping that you will enjoy today. All right, and I usually keep it light, but today might get a little hard, but we'll just see what happens, okay? Let's read some scriptures today. John chapter 12, verses 42 through 49. That's our key scripture today. And today we're studying a scripture. This is the time when Jesus, this is the last sermon or confrontation of Jesus with the Pharisees before his death. This is like the end of his ministry. Okay, let's read it together. John chapter 12, verse 42 says this, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him," in Jesus. "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God." Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Another translation says, Jesus shouted with a loud voice. What did he shout? "He who believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me." Whoa, why do you have to shout that, Jesus? Just chill, man. Calm down, Jesus. But it says he cried out, or he shouted out, "He who believes in me does not believe in me only, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me has seen the one who sent me." Wow. Jesus is making some big claims about himself. "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe," and listen, the world loved this scripture. And we love this scripture right here. "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him." See, Pastor? See, Pastor, what the Bible says? Not to judge. Jesus does not judge anybody. You can live whatever you want to do. You can do whatever you want. See, watch this. "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." We love this scripture. I love this scripture, right? But let's read the next scripture after this. Because, see, people love to take parts of the Bible and build their whole life on parts of the Bible and skip the parts they don't like. You know, when I was a child, I didn't like to eat some things. I still don't like to eat some things. My wife likes to feed me a lot of onions in a salad. And I'm a pastor. I got to speak to people. And right before the Wednesday night service, she loads up the salad with onions. And I'm like, how? No toothbrush and toothpaste is going to brush this away. I need some acetone to clean that stuff up. So see, same with Christianity. We love to take good parts of it, and we love to throw some stuff that we don't like out. So let's read next scripture. "He who rejects me," oh, he speaks to those too, "and does not receive my words, has that what judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Listen to this. Whoa. Talking about that there's going to be a last day. No, history is circular, right? It's just going circle and circle and doesn't No, history's not circular. It's linear. There's going to be the end. There's going to be judgment. Jesus said it himself. All right? The words I've spoken would judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, which I should say and what I should speak. That's it. So let's break this scripture apart quickly. Verse 42, let's put that up, says this. Jesus is speaking to the Jewish leaders. This is right before his crucifixion, when his ministry is done. See, some of the Jewish leaders, these are the righteous people. These are the good people, believed in Jesus, right? But they would not confess him. They were closet Christians. And he says, there can't be a closet Christian, right? He's talking to the closet Christians. And this is what he said. They love the praises of man rather than, listen to this, for they love the praises of man rather than praises of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you a closet Christian? Meaning, on Sunday, you're not a closet Christian. On Sunday, you're all good, right? But on Monday at work, people don't know you're saved. Based on your behavior, people wouldn't be able to tell that you are full of light and not darkness. So Jesus is rebuking them. Oh, I don't like this, Pastor. Can we talk about how God loves us? I am. Because you can't have the love of God without the justice of God. So Jesus says, if you trust me, you will walk in the light. If you don't trust me, I don't judge you. Notice this. That's why Christians shouldn't judge people. But the truth is there will be a judgment. There will be a judgment. All right? And he says, if you reject me, you will be judged on a day of judgment. There's going to be a judgment. Jesus makes two things clear in this scripture. There will be judgment. Number two, you will be judged according to the truth you've heard. He who rejects me does not reject and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken would judge him in the last day. The word that he speaks will judge you. So we will be judged on the truth that we heard. It's dangerous to go to church every Sunday and not change. It is. It's very dangerous to be a Christian for a long time, know the truth, but that truth doesn't do anything in you because that truth is going to judge me. Huh. That's why be 100% for Jesus, be a hot believer for Jesus, or be cold. Be not for Jesus. But don't be this middle one because God rejects you and Satan kind of happy that you're there. All right, so let's keep going. Our society has been forcefully rejecting the truth of a judgment day. How many of you hear this? Don't judge me. God doesn't judge. God loves everybody. See, it says don't judge. Okay. There is even commercial. No judgment. Right? No judgment here. All right? The idea is that judging God is at best a primitive idea or at worst a dangerous idea. They say, the culture says, the liberalism says that it creates violent people. Having a judging God who sits on a throne and going to judge everybody creates violent people because it makes us like our God. So we want to do like God does. Let me ask you guys a question. If you had to choose between these two sentences, God is love or God is a righteous God, which one would you choose? God is love. I would too. But you're right. You're not wrong. You're right. But be honest. If you had to choose between two sentences, God is a just, righteous God, a smiter of sin, or God is love, which one would you choose? Love, of course. We all want love. The truth is, God is both. God is both a righteous judge of the universe, a just judge of the universe, and God is love. You can't separate one from another. But our society, what it likes to do is, it likes to separate the parts they love and create a whole new God. Right? We take God is love part and we create a whole toothless God, powerless, weak God who has no power in your life. You don't obey him. You don't fear him. You don't care about him. What is he going to do? He's a Cupid with wings, a fat baby with a bow and arrow who can shoot love at you. That's all he can do. And that feels good. Help me out. Right? we created an idol because that's not true God, right? If somebody said, oh, you only eat candy and that's all you eat, you're full of candy. That's not who you are because you eat other things, right? Same with God. God has both sides, but how can it be? Our society doesn't want the just God. We just want the loving, fluffy God sitting on a cloud, not able to do anything. Our culture does not mind accepting a God of love. Even atheists will accept him. Even agnostics will accept the idea of God of love. However, our society militantly rejects the God of righteous judgment, God who will judge people at the end. The culture says we don't need a God who's a righteous judge. We don't need him. We don't need him. We don't need him. It creates violence. It creates, but is it true? Because what Jesus said about God, that there will be a judgment, that means there is a judge. Have you ever been in court? I have a few times. Not recently, but, right? And have you noticed the judge never sits level with you like this? Hey, how you doing? Have you noticed he's always on top from that mahogany big desk of his looking down at you and pointing? Nobody likes to be judged. And so in our churches, I think we did the same thing. We made a God who has no effect in our life because he's fluffy, weak, loving God. And today I want to show you that it's both. God is all-powerful, almighty, creator of the universe. Evil runs from him, all right? Seas part before him. Dead come to life in his presence. Fish jump into the nets of people when he's there. Bread multiplies by itself. Fish multiplies by itself. Sicknesses and diseases flee before him. He's a miracle God. He can bring locusts. He can bring thunder and fire. He's a powerful God. However, in Jesus Christ, he chooses to reveal to us his love, compassion, and his grace. Okay, I'm going there, but let me back up. Back up, Pastor Alex. We don't like the God of judgment, but we must have a God of judgment. Listen, for our sanity, for my sanity, I need a God that is a true just God who judges people. And for the society, we need this truth that God is a righteous judge. Let me tell you why. Last week, I was in a store and I was buying parts. I needed 12 parts. And each part was $11 each. So I told the clerk or whatever the person is at the register, I said, give me 4 right, 4 left, and 4 center parts. 12 parts in all. Amen? So he puts stuff in a bag for me. It's the metal pieces parts. And then he starts ringing me up. And he says, okay, so I gave you 4 left and 4 right. And I'm like, I saw you put the 4 centerpiece parts in there too. And he's charging me. And here's my dilemma now. I can save $44. All I have to do is omit the truth. All I have to do is say nothing. Hopefully he won't notice. And he asks me again, you needed 4 right, 4 left, right? And here in a millisecond, you have to make a choice. It's not me only, you do too. I'm not saying I'm this good guy. No, I had a thought. And I'm cheap. So I'm like, here's my $44, you know, fill my tank with gas, right? And the second thought is, God is just. And I said, Brock, don't forget 4 center part. He's like, did I give you those or did I need to go get them? No, I said, you put them in. Here they are. And through clear plastic, I showed him. Here they are. And he's like, oh, thank you so much for telling me. And guess what I said? I ain't going to hell for 4 pieces of parts. I ain't going to hell for that. What makes me, you, and even an atheist, an agnostic, do what's right? Subconsciously, we know there is a just God. And although we don't always do what's right, we still know what's right. Culture says believing in God who smites will lead to aggression, will lead you to smite people who don't believe like you believe. The truth is, our society cannot survive without a just God. We need a loving God and we need a just God. Have you ever been in a situation where a clerk gives you $10 extra? Or they think you gave him $50, but you actually gave him $20? Had that happen. And don't you automatically have a light bulb goes off? You have a devil sitting on your left and an angel sitting on your right with wings saying, what are you going to do? Once this, and it's so quick, right? The thoughts is so quick. Do this. You'll get some money. You need it. You know you need it. Maybe this is God blessing you. Right? The devil is a liar. But right? The angel said, no, it's not worth it, man. You're conscious. Well, what you going to do with your conscience? Because as soon as you walk out, the devil says, oh, now you stole. Somebody's going to stop you in the middle of the road. A police is going to stop you, give you a ticket now. And then they do stop you and give you a $150 ticket. You're like, I've been judged. You know that there is justice of God in this universe. Our culture wanting to eliminate God. You know what they do? We created a new word for this idea. We call it karma. Right? We say karma will get you. And you know that show, My Name is Earl? Ooh, how many of you watched that, right? He's all about karma. If he does bad, bad comes to him. Well, really, it's the judge of the universe that put that law in order. We call it, Christians, the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever a man shall sow, he shall also reap. So, but the culture, we want to remove God out of everything. Right out of movies, everything. God is either bad God, culture likes the loving God, but in the movies it portrays God as egomaniac, racist, sexist, and all these evil things. Culture's trying to remove God out of our minds. You got to be careful that you serve a true God, not an idol that a culture has created. I want to serve a true God, not an idol that a culture has created. Society cannot survive without this truth that God will judge eventually. I don't know if you heard of this man. His name is Miroslav Volk. He's a Croatian philosopher, and in his book, Exclusion and Embrace, he's a philosopher, and his country has went through genocide, okay? He writes this, my thesis is that the practice of nonviolence, because people will say, we don't need God, we will just practice nonviolence, okay? God is violent. We don't need violence. We'll just be these perfect people without God, okay? Watch what he says. My thesis is that the practice of nonviolence requires a belief in God. Why? He said this, imagine for a moment speaking to people as I have, whose cities and villages have been plundered, have been burned and leveled to the ground, whose daughters and sisters have been raped, whose fathers and sons had their throats slit. And you point to them when you speak, don't practice violence, abandon violence, don't retaliate. We should not retaliate. Violence doesn't solve anything. Their question to you would be, why not? When everything in me wants to retaliate, help me out, right? It would be unjust for me not to defend if there is no God. It would be unjust for me not to defend my family and retaliate and revenge. Bring revenge upon those people. Amen? So what stops a person from bringing revenge? Because we know that revenge brings a cycle of violence that never stops. Look at the Jewish and Palestinian state. They've been fighting for thousands of years and it does not stop. Because when you killed my sister or brother, if I don't have God or if I don't believe God is fast enough or I don't believe God is just, he's just a loving, fluffy, toothless God, then I have to do something about it. I will take a sword. If there is no God, what stops me from not taking a sword? I must take a sword and fight. Amen? If there is no justice of God, or if I think, see, secretly our society thinks God is not going to do anything, or he doesn't exist, so we have to retaliate. How do I forgive something like that? Volk says that if you don't believe in justice of God, you've never been mistreated, or violence has never been done to you. That's why you're like, violence is not a key. But if violence has been done to you, it does something on the inside of you. It messes you up. Why is it that people who had their loved one murdered, why don't they get any peace until justice is brought to the person who did murder? What is it inside of them that does not give them any peace. See, we're made in the image of God. We want justice. We want justice. How does a person whose childhood has been robbed, who's been sexually molested, killed, raped, how do they live when they can't do anything to the person who did something evil to them? How do they cope with that? Two options. One, they retaliate. Or two, they forgive and give the justice to God. If there is no God, there is no hope for our society. You live, even if you don't believe today, you still live. On the back of your mind, you have a choice. This will bring good. This will bring bad. You still live as there is a justice of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of you are like, man, Pastor, well, maybe you don't need it. But I know people here who are thinkers, and they need to think deeper, okay? Because when it comes to God, we just sweep everything under a rock and say, it's all dumb, it's all dumb. No, 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 you haven't thought about it deep enough. You haven't thought about it deep enough. Volk has. He said this, your point to them is as you speak, we should not retaliate. Violence doesn't solve anything. Why not? What will keep them from retaliating? Then he says, violence secretly thrives today because people believe that God refuses to take a sword. But we created a God. We created that God. But see, the thing about God, he's patient. That's why he doesn't immediately take the sword and punish the wicked. But nonetheless, Bible says that God will judge. God will judge. Maybe not in this life, maybe in the next life. A few weeks ago, a German co-pilot took an airplane, locked the main pilot out of the captain's room, and took a plane and crashed it into Alp Mountains. 150 people died. If there's no just God, how do the families of these 150 people, which is thousands of people, how do they cope that they will never get justice if there's no justice of God? Because the man who committed that crime, that evil, killed himself in it, they cannot punish him today. They cannot try him. They cannot speak their grievances and anger towards him. He's gone. Do you see what the problem is? Why we need, for your sanity, my sanity, for the society's sanity, we need the justice of God. We need God who is just. What does this have to do with cross equals love? I'm still going there. It might be slow, but I'm still going there. We need a just God. Volk says this, have you ever really been a victim of injustice? If you haven't, you probably say, we don't need the just God. But if you have been, you know that no matter what the court does to a person, to that bomber in a Boston bomber, right? That guy who bombed Marathon, it's not enough what our courts will do to him. Yes, they'll lock him up. Maybe they'll give him death penalty. But how many lives has he hurt? How is that enough? Giving him 3 meals a day. He probably has a TV, you know. Probably going to go to gym, you know. Going to have clean clothes and daily showers, hopefully by himself. You know, our justice seems not enough for the crimes that he did. People are living without limbs today because of him. People died because of him. There's got to be a greater justice. And the truth is, there is the justice of God. Are you getting this, guys? There is a justice of God. Jesus says, he who does not believe in me will be judged. I won't judge him, but the words that I speak in the last day will judge him and condemn him. The main source of misery, pain in the world, is you hurt me, I will hurt you, and the cycle continues. There's wars fought. War in Ukraine right now. People that I know are going to war. Families who have sons my age and younger and older, sitting scared, trying to escape because they don't want to go to an endless war. Because now you kill their people and they kill your people, and now the families are involved and the cycle never ends. That's why it's impossible to stop these things unless you believe in a God of justice who will sort everything out at the end. It's impossible to let go. But the reason we're able to forgive, not because we're sweeping everything under the rug, but because we know that God is the best judge and he can do what I can't do. Let's talk about our sins now. Because a lot of people will say, why can't God just take our sins? If he's a loving God, if he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and all those, if he's all-powerful God, why can't he just take the sins of the world and sweep them under the rug? Why does he have to kill his son in such brutal death? Why? Why not? If he's all-powerful, just sweep it under. Well, the simple answer, and this is a simple one. There's a complicated one, but this is a simple one. If somebody wronged you, and somebody did evil to you, mistreated you, hurt your family, and you go before the judge, and judge says, oh, we're not going to deal with this issue. We're just going to sweep it under the rug and let go of the murderer and let go of this criminal and that criminal. What would you do? Would you say, God is a just God? He loves me so much. What would you say? What would you say? He doesn't love me. He's not a loving God. How could he sweep this horrible act that has been done against me and my family under the rug? How? He can't be a just God. And he wouldn't be. Do you see the point? So God could not just sweep the sins of the universe, past, present, and future. He had to punish sin. And he chose the cross. Now, one thing God could have done, guys, he could have just let us go and let us kill ourselves. Remove the justice of God, and we would have destroyed ourselves a long time ago. Humanity would have not been existent. It was by the grace of God that he loves us that we're still here, that humanity is still here on the earth, because God had a plan. God had a plan. He said, I will crucify my son. I'm going to give you another example, and I'm going to finish. It's a hypothetical one, so it's not real. But let's say there was a principal, and in his middle school, there was a lot of cursing. I know today there's so much cursing everywhere. So a principal decided, we're going to instate a new rule. We're going to say no more cursing in school, okay? And if you curse, there will be punishment. You will be either put in detention or you will be expelled. So everybody goes on the playground. Teachers are there. Kids are there. Little Jimmy is there. Little Johnny is there. The principal is there as well. And everybody's watching little Jimmy because Jimmy loves to curse like a sailor. All right? And so Jimmy is kind of like, hates authority, right? So he says, I don't care what principal says. I'm going to cuss if I want to. I don't care. He doesn't like me anyway. He hates me. So Jimmy goes to town with cursing. And he begins to curse everybody. And right in front of the principal. He's like, I could give up. You know, that you are here. And principal's hearing this. And students are hearing this. And they're watching Jimmy. And they're watching the principal. They're watching the principal. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? If he doesn't do anything, he's a loving principal, but he's toothless, weak. They're going to walk all over him, and they're going to do whatever they want. There's going to be no order in that school, and everybody's going to bully each other around, right? So principal says, we're going to have an assembly in a gym. Everybody has to be there. All the middle schoolers have to be there. Principal comes out and says, you guys know, you all heard that I said there's a new rule, no cursing. And Jimmy here, you've heard him. I've heard him. You pointed him to me because there's always teacher pats. Principal, have you heard Jimmy? Look, hear what he's saying. Right? There's always those guys and girls. And principal says, you've heard him cuss. I've heard him cuss. You heard the rules. And you heard that there will be punishment if you'll be expelled for a day or 2 days, or you'll go to detention. He says, Jimmy, come on out here. Jimmy comes out, cussing inside this time. Principal has a son who goes to that school as well. So Jimmy is standing there waiting to be judged, right? If you think there's no judgment in our society, there's so much judgment. Everybody judges your performance at work. Come on. Judges how you dress, what your education is, how much money you make. Come on, there's so much judgment. It's just people love to rub it into the Christian world. Oh, no judgment. Anyway, next message for that later in the summertime. Summertime. There's lots of judgment. Wouldn't you agree in our world? Yeah, it's not just in a church. It's in a world too. So the principal says, has a middle schooler son going to the same middle school. His name is Johnny. Jimmy and Johnny. Jimmy's the bad guy. Johnny didn't do anything. Okay. So principal says, Johnny, come on out with me outside of the assembly. So they walk out and they say, the principal says, you know I love Jimmy. You know that I love him. But he thinks I hate him. And if I punish him right now, he'll definitely say, principal hates me. He says to his son, Jimmy, would you take the punishment for, Johnny, would you take the punishment for Jimmy? And Johnny says, you know, Dad, I do love Jimmy too. I like him. Yes, I will take the punishment for him. So principal comes out and says, okay, I made a decision. My son, Johnny, has decided Jimmy is guilty, but my son Johnny will take the punishment and go to detention for 5 days for Jimmy. Jimmy, you are free to go. It's like it never happened. It's not going to go on your record. It's going to go on Johnny's record. At this point, I imagine Jimmy's eyes are beginning to be watery a little bit, and tears start flowing from his eyes. Do you think Jimmy will be the same after that? Why? Because judgment has been done and love has been shown to him. See, that's what God... Yeah, yeah. That's what God did on the cross. He punished his son with the most severe punishment that we deserved. We were the Jimmies, right? We were in rebellion with God. Now, because of the cross, because of the righteous judgment, God's wrath is satisfied. God is not mad anymore. He's still just. Nobody can say, God, you're nothing. You're a rag. Yeah, nothing. No, he's still just. He showed his justice. And also he showed his love. And that's where Paul says, my brain is exploding, God. Oh, the depth of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his ways. For who has known the mind of Christ? Who has been his counselor? Because from him and to him, all things are and were. And everything is, to him be the glory forever. Paul is the philosopher in the Bible, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, came to this. How do you explain this mystery? It's a mystery. I think we will never completely understand this mystery of cross equals love until we get to heaven. And even in heaven, I think God is still going to know more than we will ever know. And for eternity, we'll be educated. We'll be getting to know more the knowledge of God. Amen. 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 We need a just God. Do you see why? We need a just God. Oh, I have so much more to say. I only preached one page. I have another one. Last point. On the cross, we have already been judged. If you believe in Jesus, if you put your trust and hope, you have already been judged on a cross. If you have ever had to go to court, and maybe for something serious like DUI or maybe domestic violence or something, I don't know, maybe an accident you caused because you were on drugs, or I don't know what, you had to go to court. What happens in the weeks and days prior to court? How do you live your life? Anxiety, worry, fear, right? Because you know there's judgment coming. But after the court date, even if you got some fine, right? Even if you got 30 days in jail, how do you leave court? You go, right? Because justice has been done already. That's it. Can't get punished twice. You can live your life in two ways. Pre-court, past court. You can live your life trying to be good enough so you can hopefully at the end will stand before the judge and say in your pride, I didn't need Jesus. I was a good person. But then you'll be doing this. I hope he finds enough good works to cover the bed. But that's not how God judges. It's perfect. Are you perfect? If you're not, you're going down. Or you can live your life like this. You can live your life in Jesus Christ. I've already, on the cross, that was me. That was all my sins, past, present, and future. It's already been judged. And now I can go, I can serve God. Jimmy can say, wow, the principal really loves me. He punished somebody else and I go free. That's the cross. That's equal love part. That's salvation. That's grace. That's the God I want to serve. I don't want to serve a weak without backbone God who can't do anything to punish those who do evil. I want God to be just, but I also want him to be loving. And in him, I've already been, in Jesus Christ, I've already been judged. So I can live my life to the fullest. I don't live my life in pride. I'm good enough. Or if I do so many good works, really my heart is not there, but I'm just trying to please the universe. karma. You know, if I do good enough here, I can do bad enough here. It's all going to, you know, balance itself out. It's a lie. It's a lie. Bible is truth. God loves you. He sent His Son to die on a cross for you. You can have a great exchange today. You can take Jesus' righteousness and it'll be placed on you through faith. Or you can pay for your own sins at the judgment day, and nobody will get out alive. It's a way of saying, metaphorically speaking, everybody will be judged because nobody's good enough. Nobody's good enough. Cross equals love. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to ask you a question. Would you guys turn off the lights? Bow your head and close your eyes. Everyone, please. Close your eyes. This is a private moment. Do you know God? Did you know that God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life? God crucified Jesus on your behalf, on my behalf, so that means I don't have to pay for my own sins. On the cross, my sins have been crucified. And today I want to give you an opportunity to say, Jesus, I love You. I believe in You. It makes sense, at least a little bit. And I want You to be in my life. I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, if you're far from God today, or if you used to be saved and you walked away, or you never knew God, maybe even today you came as an atheist or agnostic or whatever, but something in your heart says, I believe. I'm going to count to three, and on the count of three, raise your hand and raise it high. God loves you. There's a reason you're here today. He brought you here today so you can hear this message and be assured in your salvation. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Please raise your hand. One hand, two hands, three hands. Is there anybody else? Four hands. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, church. Clap your hand. Clap your hands, everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray together. Repeat it to me. Say, Jesus, I believe You're a Son of God who came and died for my sins on the cross. I ask You to forgive me of my sins, to save me today, to do an exchange with me. I get Your righteousness. You take my sins, all of them, past, present, and future, all of them. From this day on, I believe that You have saved me, that You've come into my heart, and I want to live for You a new life in Jesus' name. I'm saved, I'm forgiven, and I'm free. Amen. Clap your hands again and bless God.